During my many years of personal experiences and those experiences gathered through the ministry, I have seen the many different ways we react to distress, physical disorders, and illnesses. I guess the first reaction of many is to be in denial. You know the thing. It can't happen to me. Reality does not often set in until we are flat on our backs or otherwise forced to recognize, in fact, it is happening to me. For some, anger sets in. And thus, we try to find blame as to why whatever is happening to us is happening. This blame is often placed at God's feet, so to speak. Still others respond by resignation. And they say, what will be, and try to live through the adversity. It's just God's will. Of course, these actions are among others, but in themselves they do nothing in order to find healing and resolution. They only delay that process. They even may delay resolution until it's too late. Even upon acceptance of the situation, some may resist following the prescribed treatment because of the fear of the unknown or the hearsay of others. Therefore, they may try some alternatives which may be valid and maybe not. They even may be alternatives which you previously had been skeptical and even critical of. Therefore, they go against your ego in order to try them. After all, it's said and done. You may go against all the negatives which you can conjure up and finally find healing or resolution. That is when you become a believer and gained faith in how the positive results occurred and respond with extreme gratitude. In general, most people will go to whatever lengths they can to find healing and resolution so that which threatens their lives and their well-being is aborted. Now, this is all into saying this is exactly the case of the story of Naaman in our Old Testament lesson. Naaman was a man of great social stature in Israel's neighboring kingdom of Aram. He had achieved army commander, the commander of the kings of Aram. Thus he was held in high esteem within the circles of the king's elite and within the king himself. This most notable man was confronted with something which nobody of that day and age wished to believe. He had contracted the dreaded disease of leprosy. This would have been like us being confronted with cancer today. There were no known cures for this painful, debilitating, and socially isolating disease. And here was this important warrior, now facing the probability of being cast aside like all of the other lepers. He must have reached the point of desperation. And then an answer would come to him from the most unlikely person. In one of their raids, the Arameans took a young Israelite girl captive. She became the servant to Naaman's wife. Now, in learning about Naaman's disease, this young Israelite told her mistress, if only my Lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy. Well, who would ever listen to a young servant, especially when she was from a foreign land, and maybe just a young teenager at that? Listen to her? How could a foreign prophet offer more than a god from his own nation? But being desperate, he gave his consent to find out the truth within this young servant's message. So Naaman then went to his own king in order to get permission to make the trip into the land of Israel. Naaman must have been very special to that king. So special that the king not only gave him his permission, but wrote a letter to the king of Israel. So off the contingent went, along with money and garments and, of course, the letter. When they gained entrance to Israel's king and gave him the letter, this is what it said. When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent you my servant Naaman, that you may cure him of his leprosy. Now, since the letter was not very specific as to whom should be the healer, for there is no mention of any prophet, the king became enraged. And we are told, when the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I a god to give death or life, that this man sent word to me to cure a man of his leprosy?" Well, naturally, the king thought this was an act to antagonize him by his neighboring king. Just look and see how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me. Not a good start. Not a good start at all for Naaman. As is often the case in the process of healing, we may not have a good start. Just like those bumps in the road are resolved, so was this process saved. The prophet Elisha heard about what happened and intervened. "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me, that he may learn and that there is a prophet in Israel." Now there was again hope for this desperate man who had made the difficult journey. But that hope would be challenged again. This time Naaman let his ego and crushing faith get in his way. So here they were, he, Naaman, and his entourage. There had to be a good many people in front of Elisha's house. And then Elisha didn't come out. But he sent a messenger to greet them and give them this message. Go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean. Boy, a stumbling block. This only angered Naaman, since the prophet did not come out himself to greet him and perform the miracle of healing. After all, his station in life demanded such a personal treatment. He said, I thought for me, he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. Are not Abanan and Phapar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? And in anger, full of rage, ego got in the best of him. He went away, not understanding the healing process that Elisha was telling him. You see, healing was just not some magical act, but demanded faith in the prescribed treatment. It was not just waving one's hand over it. Wow, it's healed. But demanded faith in the prescribed treatment. You know, increasingly, modern medicine today recognizes that the healing process involves the whole being. Attitude and even faith in the treatment is seen as playing a part of the healing process. I have seen the change in this practice and this thinking of the medical community just over my lifetime in ministry. There was a time a clergy was looked upon as a necessary evil in their hospital visitations by the medical staff. But you know, now I find it just the opposite. In my hospital visitation, for the clergy is seen as one of the members of the healing team. It's been a big difference, big change. That element of faith, which Naaman was not considering at all. When someone facing treatment make up irrational excuses in order to back away, you know, there's often someone there to bring encouragement and a sense of reality. Often this can be the most unlikely person. And in the case of Naaman, it was his servants. Again, which jarred him to his senses and rekindled that spark of faith and hope. They use some very simple logic. Father, if the prophet had you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more when he said to you, wash and be clean? They confronted him in order for him to gain some rationality into his thinking. Regain that spark of faith and hope. So Naaman made that final decision, which would save him the anguish of a lifetime of pain and suffering. He went to the River Jordan and followed the prophet's instructions. With that act, he finally overcame all the pitfalls which man can fall into when facing the challenges of physical ailments and negative circumstances. We are told that his flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. At the end of the day, healing comes not as we may have wished it had come, or the process it may have taken be the process we had desired. Nevertheless, no matter the changes in our thinking, we gain faith in the process and those who help carry forth the treatment or process. We then become a new person, not only because of the outcome to our body, but the outcome to our total being and how we view life itself. This becomes very evident within Naaman. For he came to believe in that which was beyond himself and his thought processes. He just did not leave the scene. But as an admission of his pitfalls, returned to Elisha with his whole entourage. And there they were again, standing in front of the prophet's house. And standing before Elisha in all humility and thankfulness, he confessed, "Now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel." There must have been real humility, but yet joy in Naaman in order for him to return to the very person who had first enraged him. This was indeed a sign of gratitude and thanksgiving, just the same as the one leper who returned to Jesus after being healed. You know, all too often, we think the healing process is owed to us. After all, look what we had to endure. But to think this way is to forget that the healing process only is fulfilled when it ends with a lifetime of gratitude and thanksgiving. It is completed when we return to those who led to healing and say, "Thank you." They often don't get that thanks. This means we must thank God for his guiding presence all along the way. That is when we find resolve. And that is when we find healing.
Amen.